All right, fruit of the Spirit. We're in Galatians 5:22. If you're ready, say ready. Here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law, right? So we no longer live by the letter of the law, but we live by the Spirit of God that's at work within the church, right? And that's revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit here on display in Galatians 5:22 gives us the 9 characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit. And there's never been a time in history where the Holy Spirit has not been all 9 at the same time. What does that mean? That means that the more we get out of the way and the more the Holy Spirit takes up residence within our lives, the same way people spot an apple tree, they say, oh, that's an apple tree. Why? It's got apples on it. The same way people should see you and say, that's a Holy Spirit tree. That's a walking Holy Spirit tree. You got all the fruit on you. You got all 9. You got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And what I believe is each one of these are good. And each one of these are significant. And that's why we're giving a whole sermon to each one of the fruit. And so I want to go ahead and take the task today to introduce us to a word right there in the middle. It's the 5th fruit of the Spirit, and that is the fruit, kindness. Hey, look at the person next to you and say, be kind. Be kind. Be kind. What's up, Janaki? I see you over here in the front. Hey, helping you out. So be kind. Yeah. We need some company over here. Online, be kind. All right. And there is a fruit here in the 9 that's kindness. I've titled this message simply put, one of a kind, all right? One of a kind. This the fruit of kindness is a one of a kind fruit, all right? I really do believe that each one you could kind of isolate and say, no, this is the most important one. All 9 are the most important. But whenever we preach on one, we're going to highlight that one. I really think that this word kindness is something about it. It's one of a kind. Let's go ahead and work our way through and get to some application here. The word kind, krestosis, it means to have a character or demeanor of excellence in your morals, to have a gracious behavior. In fact, if you were to take this secondary part off the word, it's actually the word Christian. Right there. That the Christian spirit, the aura that we're called to carry is one of kindness. What does that mean? Well, that means that we're called to have a spirit of excellence in our character, in our demeanor. And how should our behavior be defined? As gracious. Another definition from the Oxford English translation says it like this, having or showing a friendly, generous, or considerate nature, right? So when it comes to walking out the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, it means that there's a showing of a generous, friendly, considerate posture, nature that we're called to carry. Now, I can't really see everybody in this room because of the lights and the shadows, but I know enough to know that there's some people in this church that just embody kindness. They wake up and they're kind. They go to sleep and they're kind. And then there's some other people like me who have to work really hard to do this stuff. Come on, amen. We just don't. Okay. Thank you, Macho. I need some help here. Y'all not being very kind to me right now. Showing friendly, generous, and considerate. That just some of those words make some of y'all feel weird. But regardless if kindness comes easy for you or if kindness is challenging for you, doesn't really matter. It's what we're called to walk in. In fact, I believe that the Christian church should be the kindest place on earth. Come on, amen. And we can clap for that. And I believe that the Bible would back me up with that statement. However, how many of you know that the Christian church is not always the kindest place on earth? we got to take this fruit serious. I want us to lean into this subject because the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament really does give a lot of treatment to the topic of biblical kindness. Our word for the year in September, we announced it. It's the word, it starts with the letter P. Do y'all remember it? It's pursue, right? The word pursue. It's what you pursue determines who you become. Well, there's this proverb in chapter 21, verse 21 that I really think is helpful. It says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Hey, listen, you know what that's telling me? Saying, hey, if you start pursuing kindness, kindness might start pursuing you. If you start pursuing righteousness and kindness, what's going to be on the other side of my pursuit? How about life? Woo! God, I want a little bit more life in this life. Righteousness. Huh, how about pursue righteousness? You get righteousness. You pursue kindness and watch how honor begins to follow you. It should be something that we pursue. And I believe it's not just a good pursuit, but can I just tell you, there's something about kindness that helps the soul and helps the community that you live within, the family that you surround yourself with, the workplace that you serve within. Something about kindness is a game changer. In fact, I was reading an article by a lady named Stephanie Mua, and she's a neuroscientist. In an article on building brains together, she says, every human being needs kindness in their lives. Anytime we practice an act of kindness to ourselves or to other people, it contributes to our positive mental and physical health by reducing our stress hormones and increasing our feel-good hormones, such as serotonin and dopamine and oxytocin. Come on, all my educated people in the room, right? Y'all like, looking those words up. Being kind helps boost the immune system, reduce blood pressure, and reduce stress and anxiety. Like, some of you, actually, what you just need to do in this season is just be a little more kind. That's going to be the best supplement you could take, is kindness. And you could give it, and you could receive it, and you could model it, and I believe it would be a benefit to you and to everyone else around you. I think one of the greatest reasons why we should pursue kindness is not just because it's going to help you. Praise the Lord. I want all that. But I also believe we should pursue kindness because God models kindness. God is kind, amen? And he's been kind. David in Psalm 145, looking for words to describe God and his work, here's what he says. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and kind in all of his works. How would you describe God and his works? Kind. I found myself not even thinking about this sermon, but this past week I was in Dallas for a large pastor's conference and convention and networking opportunities, and I was hosting different things. And it was interesting because so many different people from around the nation, some even from around the world, are following what God's doing at Walk Church. Just want to encourage you. I got to brag on you a lot. And people would say, hey, I saw what God's doing at Walk Church. And for whatever the reason, I would start with, I say, man, the Lord has been kind. Someone would say, hey, man, I watched this clip. I saw the 300th baptism. You guys are building a building. Man, the Lord has been kind. My daughter took a trip to Vegas. She was there in the service. You didn't even know it, but she was changed. Man, God has been kind. Amen. I just felt like that was my statement all week long. And then I realized it dawned on me, I'm about to preach on kindness. I'm right in the fact that God has been greatly kind to us. It would be good of us to pay attention to his kindness. Amen? Come on, right? Why should we pursue kindness? Well, because this is who our God is. And with that said, I also want to remind us that This type of biblical kindness that we're in pursuit of is not something that we can just muster up in our own strength, in our own energy, and just flip a switch on and say, okay, I'm going to be more kind today. I'm not saying that we don't play a part. We do, right? The Holy Spirit is at work within us, helping us with our self-control. But this type of kindness within the believer is something that's unlocked by the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. I was reading an article by a pastor named Stephen Whitmer. He wrote this, Kindness Changes Everything. He says, true kindness is Spirit-produced. It's a supernatural, generous orientation of our hearts. Amen? Our hearts toward other people, even when they don't deserve it and don't love us in return. God himself is kind in this way. Come on, right? So even when people don't deserve it, even when people don't show it back, there's a supernatural type of kindness. It's a reorienting. I like how John Piper says it. He says, this is not just a renovation of our heart. This is a reformation of our heart. We need a reforming, right? So it's not just us saying, okay, I got the message. Be more kind today. Remember, that's not how the tree produces fruit. It's not about more trying, it's about more relying. It's about saying, okay, if I'm going to experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be, I'm a branch, I'm going to stay connected to the vine, I'm going to keep pursuing Jesus, I'm going to keep opening the Word, I'm going to keep repenting of sin, I'm going to keep growing every single day. And the result is the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to be walking by the Spirit, and it's going to change my life. Now, when it comes to the Scriptures, I want to ask a couple questions here of when it comes to kindness, who should we be kind to? I want to ask the Bible, I know that we're called to walk out the fruit of the Spirit kind, and I know that God himself models kindness in his work, and I know that kindness, according to neuroscientists, will help us in our health mentally and physically, but who should we be kind to? I just want to ask this question. There's going to be three answers that I'm looking for, all right? Point number one, we should be kind to our church. Amen. Come on, amen? This could be a little bit like a cliche statement, but this is not always as easy as you think. Don't say amen too loud. And don't look at nobody. We should be kind to our church. Now, my three answers, you can drag and drop them in whatever order you want, all right? So I'm not saying as importance when it comes to ordering, but let me just go ahead and look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Paul's writing to the Ephesians. In other words, he's writing to a church in the city of Ephesus who had a whole lot of problems. That's like every church, that's reaching real people, all right? Paul says to the church in Ephesus, he says, come on, read it with me. Ready, set, go. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So what's Paul's instruction to the church in Ephesus? Here's what he says. When you start to practice the gospel, when you start to live out the Scriptures, live out your faith, here's what it's going to be. It's going to be being kind to one another. Now, if you do a study on this phrase, one another, you'll find that over 50 times in the Bible, the word one another is used to describe our relationships. In other words, it's impossible to live the Christian life in its fullness alone because you can't one another yourself. You got to get around one another to one another. Here it says you got to be kind to one another, to have a tender heart. Come on, some of y'all got some well-done hearts. Them things are tough. Come on. We need some tender-hearted hearts. I'm not saying it needs to be like super rare. But we need a nice heart, a tender heart. Come on, right? Tender-hearted, which means you can feel. You're not so cynical and jaded that you lost your feeling. Lord, help me to feel again. Amen. I love our Join the Family pathway because we often have this dinner at the end of it. One of my favorite moments was a couple months ago, a lady at the dinner just said, man, I feel like I can feel again. I can just come into this church, helps me breathe again. I lost hope in the church, but I'm on my way back. Come on, right? Be kind to one another. You don't know what season somebody's going in or out of. Amen? Come on, right? I'm going to clap for that. You know what we can do is we can be kind to one another. We can forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. What's our standard for forgiveness? Well, it's the standard of Christ forgiving us. Not easy, but this is the work of the Spirit inside of the believer, doing a supernatural work, helping us do a supernatural task, being kind to one another. And I'm talking about to one another within the body. Most of the one another's in the scripture refer to a local church setting. And so here's what I want to even challenge you to do. I think that we're a kind church. I think we could be kinder. Can I just tell you that most people in the city of Las Vegas, at least my experience, and I've grown up in this city, born in this city, this is the city that I know the most. Most people in the city of Las Vegas don't consider church people to be kind. Part of my challenge when it came to planting Walk Church, I remember when Nina and I were trying to find a location. We could not find a location for nothing. We were calling every single realtor that we knew, anybody who did commercial, anybody that had a sign that said for lease, we would call them. Can I just tell you, I think I was 0-for-19 on those phone calls. Hey, my name's Hayden. We'd love to consider renting this place, buying this place, doing something. They'd say, oh, great, let's talk about it. What are you looking to do? And I'd say, oh, yeah, we're looking to start a church. And it would be like, ew. Conversation killer. Oh, bro, we don't work with churches. Sorry, sir, we don't deal with churches. Oh, no, we can't. No, sorry about that. We actually have a clause written in our bylaws that say, don't deal with church. Finally, I said, how come none of you guys want to mess with church? How come nobody likes to deal with churches? And the response was, churches don't pay on time. Churches are rude. Church people are the worst. Church people like to hit you with the God card in excuse for their messiness. Church people just get up and leave and they never actually are responsible. And I thought, man, Walk Church, can I tell you something? We need to redeem the reputation of church in our city. I think it's going to take all the churches, but let's just start with us. Let's just be responsible for our own walk. Can I tell you what could help redeem the reputation of church in the city of Las Vegas and beyond? Kindness, Spirit-led kindness in the workplace, in our family dynamics, in our church dynamics. But look, we got to learn how to be nice and kind to each other, let alone outside. What if, all right, here we go. What if next week you chose to go to a different service time than the one you always go to and sit in a different seat than you always sit in. And you're like, oh, snap. We struck a nerve with some folks. Like, if you got your seat, pick a different seat. Like, force yourself to be kind to somebody else and say, hey, my name is, what do you do? Can I just tell you, we have some fascinating people here at Walk Church that are in all types of domains, seasons of life, are killing it in their respective places, are trying to figure things out. Friend, look, what if in the month of July you said, you know what, I'm going to go to a different, I always go to 10 o'clock and I always sit right here. I'm going to go to the 8:30 and I'm going to sit somewhere else. And then I'll do the 10 o'clock and sit where I want, right? But just to mix it up, just to practice being kind to the church, being kind to one another. I mean, grab one of those honor cards in the seat back pocket and just say, I'm going to take a moment to honor somebody that served at VBS. There was 90 volunteers. Maybe you know one of them. Maybe one's wearing a blue shirt today. I just want to take a moment, intentionally honor this person. I saw them working hard. I saw them cooking. I saw them helping a 4 or 5-year-old. If you want to practice kindness, serve in the kids ministry. because they'll test you. Come on, amen, Marty. They'll test you. Test you real quick. That's being kind to your church. And I just want to encourage us. I do think, having been a part of Walk Church now for almost 10 years, I really feel like that we practice kindness. And it's a spirit-led thing, but I think we can keep growing. I think we can do a little bit better. I think that we can level up in this area. Let me give you point number two. Not just being kind to our church, but I believe the scriptures teaches that we should be kind to our enemies. We should be kind to our enemies. Again, frustrating. Not easy. Hard to do. But listen, aren't you grateful? We're not asking you to do something in your own strength that's hard. We're asking you to trust and lean upon the Lord as a branch stays tethered and connected to the vine and practices what the Holy Spirit does to us. It shows us kindness. How about this? It's a pretty nice day today in Las Vegas. It is not scorching yet. But can I tell you that same weather is true not just for the church, it's also for those who don't know God. God is being kind to a lot of people that don't even know him today. The fact that he woke us up is evidence of his kindness. The fact that you're breathing, your heart is beating, you're awake, that's evidence of God's kindness. You know, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. It's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, this specific version, also in Matthew 5 through 7. But in Luke chapter 6, Jesus has this little stanza that I think is really helpful for us to see today. Here's what he says. He says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return." You ever read the Bible and you're like, I got to just take a break. Not ready to, you're moving too fast. Let's just sit there for a second. Hold on, lend expecting nothing in return. This is countercultural. Do good and your reward will be great. You know what? It takes faith to believe this. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Jesus, come on, amen. Amen, yeah, we clap for that. I think that's interesting. Jesus choosing to illustrate his message on loving your enemies. Jesus choosing to help his audience, Sermon on the Mount, all types of people gathered around the mountain to lean into King Jesus's message. And he's given this type of talk right here. He's saying, here's how I will illustrate love your enemies. Consider the Most High. He's kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Right now, God is not passive. Jesus is not a pushover. Jesus never checks in his leadership card in the name of kindness. He's kind in all of his ways and is always leading at the same time. And so, Lord, help us to apply this. Lord, help us to, even toward our enemies, still model a sense of kindness. I think it'll help you. You know, I had a moment in my own life recently that I felt like the Lord spoke to me in a real way. I got inserted into a reconciliation type moment between two brothers in Christ. And I had helped this connection happen, and there was some strife within the relationship. And it was like, hey, Pastor Hyde, can you help us get this thing back right? And so everybody's got their own side of the story. And I inserted myself and said, hey, let's just try to think about this thing rightly with the Holy Spirit in front of us. And then one of the individuals was not really hearing any of that. So I just thought, okay, there's a little bit of miscommunication. And I sent a long text message trying to just recount what was going on to try to get the situation right. Now listen, point number one, stop sending long text messages. A word. Someone felt me on that. Number two, you're never going to be able to communicate and articulate the tone and the kindness that you need to communicate with through a a screen. If you figure that out, teach us. It rarely happens. And for sure doesn't happen in the comments of a post, all right? But I thought, let me go ahead and engage. And I sent a long text. And you know what? Before I sent the message, I thought, let me just reread this. Let me make sure I got it right. And I thought, I read this and I thought, all of this is right. All of this is right. And God is a God of truth. And the Spirit of truth is going to set them free. And I sent the message. It was not well received. All right. But I was right. Stand on it. Midday, later in the day, I sensed the Holy Spirit not giving me the peace that I feel like I would have in this specific moment. I'm trying to sense, I feel like I have a check in my spirit. I'm not exactly sure why. Now, I would encourage you, if you ever feel like you have a check in your spirit, something is kind of off, you feel a little bit discontent, unsettled in your spirit. It could even be if you wake up in the middle of the night, or it could just be in the daytime while you're driving or whatever that may be. What you should do is you should pray. You should take a moment and in the posture of prayer, take your headphones out, remove yourself from, I mean, I would even say before you go to like wise counsel, just ask the wonderful counselor. Oh, hey, Lord, Holy Spirit, is there something I'm missing? I feel like there's like a check in my spirit. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to counsel. I think you should. I think there's wisdom in that. I think starting with him, maybe opening up the Proverbs and just scanning through that day of the Proverbs, asking the Holy Spirit, am I missing something? And here's what I sensed from the Holy Spirit in that moment of prayer. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I felt this impression in my spirit from the Holy Spirit. And here's what I've sensed the Holy Spirit communicate to me. You were right in what you said, but you were wrong in how you said it. Therefore, you were wrong. And I thought, how was I wrong? And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, because you weren't kind. And it was a teachable moment where the Holy Spirit is always kind. It doesn't mean that he's not for the truth. It doesn't mean that he's not leading. It doesn't mean that he's not in control, but it's his ethos, it's his posture, it's his presence that still remains kind in his coaching, in his leading, in his convicting. And it was a great lesson for me that was, you can be right and yet unkind and wind up being wrong. And so here's what I did. I messaged that individual. I said, hey, could I take a moment and give you a call? He said, sure. Called the specific person and said, hey, I was thinking about the message. I prayed on it. And I felt like how I delivered that wasn't very kind. And I wanted to apologize and let you know I was wrong for that. Everything that I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to about my own self. Can I tell you that when you sow those type of seeds, look, whatever the person responds with is up to them, but at least you were obedient to what God called you to do. Come on, right? But it's rare that I've had those moments where the person on the other side doesn't go, well, thanks. Reset. Maybe I was wrong too. And all of a sudden now we're having a good conversation with our voices, with the spirit, a bond of peace, a bit of unity, a bit of clarification. All right, you know what? Actually, yeah, I hear what you're saying. No, you know what? I need to go make that right. I actually accomplished way more in a 2-minute phone call than I did in a 2,000-word text message with a little bit of kindness. Let me even say another thing. Church, hear me on this. Get comfortable saying I was wrong. Be okay with apologizing. I think part of it says be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. It implies that there's people that are wrong, that unforgiveness and forgiveness, in order to forgive something, somebody's got to mess it up. So I've just found that it's taken too long for certain people. When I say certain people, I'm not thinking about anybody. I'm just saying in general, it's so hard. People will say, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I was. You were wrong. Just say it. It'll set you free. It'll set other people free. You could be right in your content. You could be wrong in your delivery. You're wrong. And I believe if we could practice kindness in our speech and own it when we miss it, that is that's the church that the world needs. That's the church that the church needs. Amen. I mean, I've heard people say, hey, I go to the first service because I don't want to see a person in the third service. You need to practice kindness. You should go to the third service just to see that person. Come on. Your worship's going to stop at the ceiling. Like, because I don't think that God's like, all right, you know, we know that you're unkind in your relationships, but you're great at singing. I don't think that's how God works. I think God would rather David let go of his harp to get right with him and others. Come on, right? Leave your gift at the altar, Matthew 5:23-24. Leave your gift there. Go. It implies a going and a sense of kindness. Why should you be kind? Well, because God has been kind to you. God's posture to you is kind. That's good news. And so therefore you can live out Luke chapter 6 and you could apply that. If you got all that, say, I got it. Amen. Let me give you the third and final point. We'll close with this. We should be kind to everyone. Everyone. I think that maybe somebody was waiting for that one. We should be kind to the church. We should be kind to our enemies. Honestly, we should be kind to everyone. Now, let me give you the scripture that I feel like complements this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17. This verse teaches a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. You know why you should practice kindness to everyone? It's going to benefit you. Lord, I want the life you've given me, and I want all the benefits too. And start being kind. The person who's kind benefits themselves. Help yourself. Hey, tell the person next to you, help yourself. Help yourself. No, yourself, not yourself. Yourself. Help yourself. I think there's power in that. There's power in that. I think that's good for us to apply. We should practice kindness. Proverbs 31 talks about this woman who is a virtuous woman, who is one that women should model after. The Proverbs 31, verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. Come on, right? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writing to the Colossians, he says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, right? Check this out. When you wake up in the morning, right, you should look in the mirror and you should say, God chose me. I'm chosen by God. And then you should put on your clothes. Like, yes, you should put on your clothes. But then before you're done, you should put on kindness. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, kindness. Say, God, I'm going to choose to be kind today, not in my own strength, but Holy Spirit, I'm going to need your help. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm here to help. You ever been at Home Depot looking for something and you're just trying to find one of those people with the orange thing on? You just need one to just show up and say, I'm here to help. Help me. The Holy Spirit says, I'm here to help. That's why I'm here. Lord, help me be kind. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 gives some qualifications for leaders within the church. It says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. This concept is important. Titus chapter 2 talks about wives and what type of spirit older women in the church could have. It says to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. I can't get away from this word. It makes it in. This word is one of a kind. It's in the list, amen? Let me close with one final thought, and this is my final thought for real. Quick pop quiz. What's the one thing in the New Testament that God has chosen to lead sinners to repentance? What has God chosen to use to lead sinners to repentance? Is it God's wrath that comes from above that leads sinners to repent? Is it God's love coming through Jesus that leads sinners to repent? Is it the chaos in the world that leads sinners to repent? Can I just tell you, let's ask the scriptures. I think God can use anything, by the way. But Romans chapter 2, verse number 4 gives us a recipe here. Romans 2, 4 says, do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? The very thing that God in eternity chose, here's what I'm going to use to get my people's heart right with me, is I'm going to use kindness. I'm going to demonstrate kindness in such a way it's going to lead people to look at sin and say, no more. I'm going to turn from sin. I'm going to do that 180, and I'm going to turn to him and follow Jesus. God uses his kindness to get our attention the most. And that should call us to repentance. That should call us to see Jesus as good and glorious and kind. Amen? Amen. Let's take a moment. Let's go to him in prayer. God, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are and all that you've done in our lives. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And so, God, would you, in your kindness and your word today, grab a hold of our hearts and minds. And right now in this moment of prayer, I just want to talk to somebody who's here that doesn't know Jesus. If you haven't yet put your faith in Christ, would this be the day that you repent of your sins and you grab a hold of his kindness? For it's Christ who lived the perfect life. It's Christ who died for your sins, all of them. It's Christ who rose from the grave. It's Christ who ascended on high, who's coming back again, and who loves you right now. And if that's you right now, would you, if you say, you know what, I'm ready to receive him, would you just lift your hand if that's you? For those who are making a decision right now, I just want to pray with you. Just call upon his name. Just say, Lord, I receive you now as my Savior, as my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of those things. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for dying on the cross, rising from the grave. Lead me, Lord. Help me to live out your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.